Bill Lyons is author of Patriots, a book about the history and evolution of the conservation movement in Australia. In it, he looks at many of the battles that have been fought, some lost and some won. He's going to talk about a winner today, the Eureka Stockade of the Australian Forest.
That refers to a remark that the longtime conservationist Milo Dunphy called the battle for Terania Creek, which was a forest in northern New South Wales, a rainforest that people had blockaded to prevent the logging. Now, the background to that is very interesting. In the early 1970s, a whole bunch of young Australians moved up to northern New South Wales, centred around the small ex-dairying town of Nimbin. They formed communes and they grew a lot of dope. They spent a lot of time making music, practicing meditation, trying to make a living farming the land. It was a very idealistic movement. It was a consequence of what was called an Aquarius Festival, which was held in 1973. They settled in, thought they were going to have an idyllic life. A few years after these people first settled in the area, which is a lovely part of Australia, by the way, some of the more politically aware found out that much of the land around them, which was forested, was under threat of logging, and they decided to do something about it. And in particular, a couple who'd settled at the end of a long road, Hugh and Nan Nicholson, found out that a very close forest called Terania Creek was scheduled for logging. And they and others organised a local community to come in and defend that forest. Now, they didn't know how they were going to do it. The kind of direct action that they had in mind had never been done in Australia before, at least not in a forest. And so they set up a camp on the Nicholson's property, and when the loggers came in, they formed a blockade on the road with their bodies, and the loggers turned around. The next day, the loggers came back with police. Same thing happened again. There was a blockade. This time, there were cars across the road, and so on. Third day, more loggers, more police. And so the confrontation escalated.
Was the press involved by this stage?
Yes, the press was involved because nothing like this had happened. And people like Hugh and Nan Nicholson, being middle-class Australians, were quite media savvy. They'd already alerted the press, particularly the ABC, which was very interested. Because, again, this made for great TV. Helicopters were buzzing around. Media were all over the place. And when I say confrontation, that evokes images of violence. But actually, it was a very peaceful blockade, in that the blockaders soon made friends with the police, and there are photographs of the police lounging around on the grass receiving massages and back rubs from the greenie blockaders, because one of the signs on the gate to the Nan and Nicholson's property said, "Come in peace and love." So they really believed in those kind of values. But anyway, there were serious issues at stake here. The state was determined to log this piece of land, or at least the forestry department was. The premier at the time was Neville Wran, who was actually very sympathetic to the conservationists, largely because of his wife. I'm not sure that Neville Wran had deep feelings. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but certainly his wife did, and she was very influential. And Neville Wran played a very smart political game. He said to the greenies who approached him, "There's nothing I can do at the moment because there's only me in the cabinet and most of the cabinet are in favour of logging this thing. So why don't you go away and make a public fuss?" And that was his advice to them. Excellent advice, because he said, "If you make a public fuss, I'll be able to bring cabinet around and we can stop the logging." And so that's what the greenies did. They went and made a public fuss. Interestingly, when the blockade first started, the established greenies in Sydney were not really that interested in what these people were doing. They had what they thought was a larger agenda of protecting rainforest in New South Wales, and they thought that this was just some people trying to protect their backyard and it was really undermining the larger effort. However, as the media interest grew, the Sydney folk rapidly changed their mind. They saw that this campaign was actually a symbol of what they were trying to do, and that victory in this particular campaign could have vast implications for the rest of rainforest in New South Wales. And so the campaign built and built. The forestry department was determined to go ahead, and finally Rann had enough numbers in cabinet to say, "Okay, well, we're going to institute an inquiry," because Rann was an expert at delay. He was brilliant at delay because he knew that the more time you could buy, the more the public opinion would swing in favour of saving the rainforests. And by now, Terania Creek had become a symbol for all the rainforest in New South Wales. And Rann knew that, a very, very smart operator. And so with ultimate victory at Terania Creek, Judith Wright, who was then, you know, the doyen of conservation in Australia, called the blockaders at Terania Creek, all these hippies from Nimbin, she called them true patriots. Quite explicitly so, she said they're patriots because for the first time in Australia, a local community stood up and defended the land they lived on and the land they love. Milo Dunphy shortly after commented in very similar terms, and he said this is the Eureka stockade of the Australian conservation movement of protection of forests. So he too saw it very much in patriotic terms. The people involved in Terania Creek then went on into other forest campaigns and really ignited the forest movement, which is still ongoing today, and it's still got some of those original people who were at Terania Creek. There's a lot of continuities there to comment on and to celebrate and to be impressed by.
And also, Bill, I think it shows that politics is an important aspect of successful conservation movements.
Oh, it's absolutely essential. But it's a matter of building grassroots support, because only when you've got grassroots support will politicians take notice of you.
That's Bill Lines, author of Patriots. Thank you.
Thank you.